This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver, the cherisher, the sustainer of all the world. We turn to him for aid and assistance. We put our complete trust in him. We ask him for forgiveness when we commit sin or do wrong. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Dear beloved Muslim, Allah Most High is the Lord of all the worlds. In Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Before saying Al-Fatiha, the Muslims say glorification verse, Subhanakallahumma, glory is yours, O Allah, wa bihamdika, and praise is for you, wa tabaraka smuka, and blessed is your name, wa ta'ala jadduka, and high is your office, or your rule, or your majesty, is translated sometimes, wa la ilaha ghayruk, and there is nothing to be worshipped other than you, the glorification of God. We are to glorify Allah, praise Allah, glorify Allah much. This is the spirit of the religious people, of the people devoted to the worship of God. Their spirit is one of glorifying God, not themselves, not even their nation, not even their country or government or the people. They glorify Allah who created everything. He is the Lord of all the world, Rabbul Alameen. Allah Most High in the Quran also tells us he is the Lord, the Rabb of the heaven, whatever we see up there, and what's down here. رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is the Lord of what you see above and what's down here. رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In the Quran, as well as in scriptures before, Allah says that one day He will cause the earth to rebel against the doings of the wicked upon her. And Allah speaks of the earth as being under him, and he is her Lord. Rabb, he's also the Lord of the earth. Now, the word Rabb, we have many attributes of Allah. Allah is, in the Quran, Allah says that he is the Al-Khaliqu Kulli Shay, that he is the creator of everything. He is the one who khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard, who created the what you see above and what's down here. He created the man and everything, man and jinn, and everything. He created everything. But also, this is Rab now. He's a Rab of all the world. So, what is the difference? There's a difference between the attribute Al-Khaliq and the attribute Rab. Allah also says to us in Surah Al-Quraysh, He says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Then worship, therefore, the Lord of this house, رب هذا البيت. So he is also the Lord of the Kaaba. He is the Rabb of the Kaaba, the Bayt, that we visit during the pilgrimage once a year. He is the Rabb of the Kaaba. And Allah also says, Most High, He says, هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة. This, your community, is one community. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ. And I am your Rabb. And I am your Rabb. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ. And I am your Rabb. فَعْبُدُونَ. Therefore, worship me. Therefore, worship me. You see the many applications, the many instances in the Quran where Rabb is used and how it is used. He's the Rabb of all the worlds. He's the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, what you see above and what's below. He is the Rabb for both the jinn and men. He is the Rabb of the Ummah. He is the Rabb of the Bayt, al-Bayt. The Bayt al-Atiq in Mecca, the holy house in Mecca. We must understand then the meaning of Ram. What is the Ram? What is the Ram? There have been scholars in the religion, imams in the religion, who have made discussion on this word Rab in English. And I've been fortunate to read some of their discussions and also to listen to some of the imams in the path of Allah on the term, the attribute Rab, Rab. We know Allah says in the Quran, because after all we have to understand that Quran is the highest source, the pure source. It is the pure source. It is the pure authority. It is the highest authority. So when we can find evidence from the Quran, it is the best. Evidence from the life of Prophet Muhammad is next best. Evidence from other sources fall in categories of lesser importance. The greatest authority is Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I leave with you two authorities. If you accept them, you will not go wrong. And he said, they are the Quran and my Sunnah. The Quran and my Sunnah. The Quran, here it is. We have it. As it was revealed to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, about 1400 years and a few years better ago. The Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, we have it in history. In the history of Prophet Muhammad, we have it in great volumes of hadith by Bukhari, and Muslim, and others. The most authentic collection we know is Bukhari and Muslim. You see? But this source of information called hadith is not to be confused with sunnah. Prophet Muhammad said, I leave two authorities. He said, I leave the Quran and my sunnah. When he said that, where was the hadith? The hadith was not there. Only in the sense that they had observed him, but it had not been put in those volumes by Muslim and Bukhari, right? So there was no hadith in the sense of the hadith as we understand it. There was the life of Prophet Muhammad. There was the tradition of Prophet Muhammad. There was the habits and ways of Prophet Muhammad. There was the record of how he acted in situations, in any given situation. There was the record of how he handled problems, etc., etc. There was the record of how he lived among the people. And the people knew that. His sunnah was evident among them. The people knew that. Later, they put it into volumes called Al-Hadith. You see? So we now have two terms. We have the sunnah of the Prophet, and we have Hadith. These are not exactly. They are not the same. Although the Hadith contains the sunnah of the Prophet, they are not the same. Hadith is not the same as sunnah. They are two different things. Hadith is a report on the sunnah of the Prophet. Yes, hadith is a report on the sunnah of the Prophet. Yes. You see? Alright, so he left us these authorities. And now let's go to the Quran and let's look at the word Rab. Rab is used in many ways and we've just given a few ways. But look at a word very close to Ram. It says, Allah says to us, and be kind to your parents. Don't even say to them any word in disgust. Be so respectful that you don't even get angry and say something in disgust. Like, leave me alone. Don't even say tufan. Yes. Oh, that's respect. And believe me, that's the respect I had for my mother and father. If they were alive now, they'd tell you that Wallace never got angry enough to say to us, Not to speak about arguing with them. No, I didn't argue with my parents. No, never. See, I heard you disagree with your father. Disagreement and argument is two different things. I never argued with my father. Never got angry with my father. No, indeed. Never did that to my mother. That's the way I was raised. And it was a good environment. All the children behaved the same way. We had a couple of children in the house who would get a little wild sometimes, but they wouldn't go to the extreme, nothing like to the extreme that we go to nowadays. No, indeed. They were respectful. All of my brothers and sisters were very respectful. And they taught us to respect adults, any adult that way, especially Muslims of the community. And we did that, you see. And Allah says, don't even say to the parent in disgust as much as
Oh,
leave me alone. Disgust. Leave me alone. Don't do that. Don't do as much as that. Why? Why? He says, because they're the ones who... Rabbayani. They say, you're the one. Rabbayani Saghira. You're the ones who raised me up when I was dependent. When I was dependent. I couldn't manage myself. I was dependent. I couldn't manage my life. And who did it for me? It was the parents who took care of me when I was dependent. In my weak state, my weak stages, when I couldn't go to get my food and water, when I couldn't take care of my own personal hygiene, when I couldn't manage to get around the house, who was taking care of me? My parents. Or someone who was in that role, right? Yes. 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 So Allah says, do not say so much to them as fui on you. Fie. Yeah. Don't even say so much as that. In disgust. Because they are the ones who Rabbayani Saghira raised me up when I was a little dependent. How wonderful that is. Now we know that the verb Rabbayani is not exactly the noun Rabb. But isn't Allah telling us that He is the one who raised us up when we were helpless, when we were dependent? And we look at the sky and we see it existing in an orderly form. We see the sky established. But wasn't there a time, according to the speculation of science, that the sky was not established? And Allah says that at one time, the cosmos was in a state of confusion and was undeveloped as a smoky, a hazy body. And Allah commanded it, and order took place in it. And He formed it. He formed it as it is. So we can see the sky being raised up. Huh? Allah says He raised the sky up. So He is the Rabb of the sky. He is the Rabb of the sky. And having science speculated about the earth, they say there was a time when the earth was not formed. And the earth, they speculate on how the earth was formed. Science, modern science. And doesn't the scripture tell us that there was a time when the earth was not formed? And Allah speaks of not only the sky, but the earth included. There was a time when this whole creation was in a state of confusion. There was no order. And it was like a haze, a nebula of some type. And Allah raised it up. He brought it stage by stage to its development, to the development, to its full development. So can't you see the word applying to children and applying to creation as Allah is the Rabb of all the world? Yes. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved Muslims, Allah, the Most High Lord, He says to us, now we can understand the difference now between Lord in Quran and the Lords of London and other Lords, right? All right. Allah, the Lord of the world, He tells us also in Quran, He says that He has made trial for us. Trial. Said that He has created man to love ease, right? To love ease. But He has also created him to face toil and struggle. Toil and struggle. You see? And Allah says of this difficulty in life that it is a fitnatun. Fitnatun. That it is a trial. Tribulation. An agony. Yes. A test. A persecution. Yes. Fitna. A persecution. And what will persecute you, God said? What will persecute you? The Jahiliyyah? The Jahiliyyah? Who are the Jahiliyyah? The ignorant. The ignorant. Why will the ignorant persecute the Muslims? Because they fear. They fear the Muslim. Why should they fear the Muslim? Because they see superiority in the Muslim. And the ignorant, not being willing to accept the better life, will fight against those who have the good life to keep them from coming to the position of power. Because they know once the good people come into the position of power, then they are going to exercise the judgment over the Jahiliyyah. This religion dawned upon the dark world and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him and his companions. By him, by way of him, of course, of course. And what was the situation? The Jahiliyyah were in the great numbers. When Prophet Muhammad became Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, he was a minority of one. And he reported his great experience to his wife, the Lady Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, and it became a minority of two. Then to his cousin Ali, a minority of three. And Abu Bakr and Omar and on until they got a strong number, right? Well, look how it started. And who outnumbered them? The Jahiliyyah, the ignorant people. The ignorant people were ruling. They were ruling. They were ruling Arabia. Not the enlightened people. The ignorant people were ruling Arabia. And they had some remnants of religion, some remnants of science, but they were too ignorant to manage it. There were too much idolatry, too much superstition, too much miseducation and misinformation. They were in the darkness of that. I don't want you to just think about this. I want you to think about this and think about yourself. Because Allah has given us something to take care of us for all times. And whenever we fall into a similar situation, then Allah give us that help we need. Praise be to Allah. So he says to us, our own children. Listen. This is in Quran. This is Quran. Our own children are a fitna. Can't you hear the word fit? English word fit in fitness? And don't we say, hey, he gave me a fit. And some of us say, you keep messing with me, I'm going to give you a fit. You know, that means we're going to really put something on you, right? And here is an Arabic word. I think they took something from the Arabic word, you see. Here is the Arabic word fitna. Something that throws you in a state of difficulty, a state of anguish, distressful state. Problems coming at you from all angles and all sides. You can't manage to do what you should normally do because of the heavy problem. Persecution. Those who persecute us, they throw us in situations like that. Persecution is something that is done from behind the curtain. They don't persecute you in front of your face. They persecute you from behind the curtain. But all you know is that your situation is becoming one of fitna. The ignorant persecute us. Our children persecute us. Not all the time intentionally. So their fitna, the fitna we experience from the children, is not exactly a persecution. But after all, in effect, it is persecution. Yes, in effect, it is persecution. But it's not exactly persecution. It's just a difficult situation that we find ourselves in, where our children is becoming the greatest problem in our life. How are we going to manage? How are we going to survive? How are we going to manage? With Allah. With Allah, our Rabb, our Lord. He is the answer for all situations. And Allah says, and your possessions are a fitna. What are my possessions? No matter how small they are, brother, they can become a fitna for you. Maybe you don't have anything. You think you're the poorest man in the world. But whatever you got can become a fitna for you. Oh, yes. Oh, I have nothing but a wife. Oh, I have nothing but a bicycle. And you start saying, I have nothing but a bicycle. Everybody got a car. I got nothing but a bicycle. Here I go. Got to get on this bicycle again. That's a fitna. Then there are the people that's got a lot. And their possessions have spoiled their character. Have completely ruined their character. That's a fitna. Then you find your possessions and your children coming in the way of you and what Allah asks of you. I've seen many good parents leading the children in the path of Allah. Leading them as Allah wants them to go. But as the burden got heavier, they stopped leading the children. They didn't have the strength anymore. Their strength ran out. And they didn't know how to get the battery recharged at the masjid, in the Quran, in the life of Muhammad. They didn't know how to recharge the battery. So their energy is gone. They're weak. And now they can't lead the children anymore because they're weak. Glory be to Allah. They can't lead the children anymore. SubhanAllah. They can't lead because they're weak, right? No motivation. No initiative. No courage. All gone. The fitna has overcome them. Yes. And then the children start leading them. Children that they used to bring to the masjid, the children that they used to lead in prayer, the children that they used to say, wash up and say your blessing and eat, are now leading them. They stopped saying the blessing. Now, after a while, the children stopped. Then after a while, the parents stopped. Children stopped saying a prayer. After a while, the parents stopped. Children start going to un-Islamic places. After a while, the parents stopped. Children start smoking, after a lot of parents start. The one who used to lead now is following. Children do the vulgar thing in the house, after a lot of parents copied it, follow suit. Doesn't it happen that way? Oh, yes. Your authority has been taken from you. You've fallen off your throne. So Allah says the children and the possessions are fitna for us. So dear beloved Muslim, let us glorify God. As I mentioned in the opening of the khutbah, Subhanaka Allahumma. Glory be to you, O Allah. Don't glorify yourself. Don't glorify your possessions, your knowledge. Don't glorify your nation. Don't glorify the people, glorify Allah. Glory is for Allah, not for anything else. Everything else is His creation, and everything else should be in its proper place, serving Allah. And understand this, and come to Allah with a sincere heart. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this religion is sincerity. Ad-deen al-nasiha. The religion is sincerity. And he also said, no one can follow, be a believer, follow this religion until his desires go after what I have been sent with. So you have to design what Prophet Muhammad was sent with. What was Prophet Muhammad sent with? He said he was sent with the Quran. He said he was a teacher that has been sent to teach people the highest morals. Isn't that what he said? That's the saying of Prophet Muhammad. I have been sent to educate the world, to educate people in the highest morals, in the refined nature. So if you desire vulgar life, if your desires are going after vulgar life, going after ignorance, going after filth, going after crime, going after injustices, how can you be a believer? It won't happen. Muhammad has said it, peace be on him. You won't become a believer until your desires, your inclinations, follow what I've come to you with.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.